Seafeldt's jaw was white and shaking when he finally gave up the pole to Fredrickson. "Okay, but if he got a fish with a hook in his mouth, that's my God-blessed fish." I was as excited as the rest. I hadn't planned on fishing, but after seeing that steel power a salmon has at the end of a line, I got off the cabin top and put on my shirt to wait my turn at the pole. Scanlon got up a pool for the biggest fish and another for the first fish landed, 4 bits from everybody that wanted in it, and he'd no more and got his money in his pocket than Billy drug in some awful thing that looked like a 10-pound toad with spines on it like a porcupine. "That's no fish," Scanlon said. "You can't win on that." "It isn't a b-b-b-b-bird." "That there, he's a ling cod," George told us. "He's one good eating fish. You got all his warts off." "See there, he is too a fish. Pay up." Billy gave me his pole and took his money and went to sit up close to the cabin where McMurphy and the girl were, looking at the closed door forlornly. "I wish we had enough poles to go around," he said, leaning back against the side of the cabin. I sat down and held the pole and watched the line swoop out into the wake. I smelt the air and felt the 4 cans of beer I'd drunk shorting out dozens of control leads down inside me. All around, the chrome sides of the swells flickered and flashed in the sun. George sang out for us to look up ahead, that here come just what we've been looking for. I leaned around to look, but all I saw was a big drifting log and those black seagulls circling and diving around the log like black leaves caught up in a dust devil. George speeded up some, heading into the place where the birds circled, and the speed of the boat dragged my line until I couldn't see how you'd be able to tell if you did get a bite. "Those fellas, those cormorants, they go after a school of candlefishes," George told us as he drove. "Little white fishes the size of your finger. You dried them and they burned just like a candle. They are food fish, chum fish. And you bet where there's a big school of them candlefish you find the silver salmon feeding." He drove into the birds, missing the floating log, and suddenly all around me the smooth slopes of chrome were shattered by diving birds and churning minnows, and the sleek silver-blue torpedo backs of the salmon slicing through it all. I saw one of the backs check its direction and turn and set course for a spot 30 yards behind the end of my pole, where my herring would be. I braced, my heart ringing, and then felt a jolt up both arms as if somebody had hit the pole with a ball bat, and my line went burning off the reel from under my thumb, red as blood. "Use the star drag," George yelled at me. But what I knew about star drags you could put in your eye, so I just mashed harder with my thumb until the line turned back to yellow, then slowed and stopped. I looked around, and there were all 3 of the other poles whipping around just like mine, and the rest of the guys scrambling down off the cabin at the excitement and doing everything in their power to get underfoot. "Up, up, keep the tip up," George was yelling. "McMurphy, get out here and look at this. God bless you, Fred, you got my blessed fish. McMurphy, we need some help."